I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Private Investigations, a Tommy Tiernan podcast. Some of you will be interested in technique, I'm sure. You know, how do you approach a bit of work like this, like the bit of work that's happening in your ears right now? Different people have different ways of getting into the zone, the talking zone, the thinking zone, the playful creative zone. I use many techniques, but today I'm using a specific one. Specific because of the subject that I want to talk about. Today's technique is to do the entire episode bursting for a piss. And the reason I'm going to work like this today is because today's episode is about stress. It's like been followed by a thin, angry old lady. I thrive on stress. I must fucking thrive on it because I'm always volunteering for it. I often dream of what it'd be like to let go. And when do you ever let go in your life anyway? I think the only time you actually let go is in dreamless sleep. When there's no you. Like even in your dreams, I have a recurring dream about plane crashes and I survived them, but that's my recurring dream. I'm in a plane, it's going down, everybody's panicking, we plunge into a building or fucking tarmac or something, the plane crashes, and in every single fucking dream the shape of it is the same. I survive and I immediately go to the airport and get on another fucking plane. But if God forbid it should ever happen, but I'm well used to that feeling through me dreams of plunging. Do you know that when you hit a bit of turbulence in a plane and she drops like, and she's fucking, there's little bumpy air pocket drops, you know, where you fall a foot or two. Oh, that was a bit of a, it's like getting a poke in the hole, a poke in the soul. You survive it, it's fine, it's a bit of a laugh. I remember one time being on an awful flight from Australia to New Zealand and we must have been going through acne. That's how fucking bumpy it was. And we were laughing, I mean, we were drinking and we were calling the air hostess nurse. But it was good fun in a way. But that feeling of, whoa, that you go beyond that and into down and into very, very serious, soul-shaping, significant silence and the physical feeling of plunging. Well, I'm through me dreaming, I'm well used to that. And I hope to God it never actually happens to me. But if it does, you know, I'll know from my dreams that we're going to be okay. So I tell everybody, we're grand. Don't worry. I've been through this before. We'll be on another plane before we know it. But stress to me, what I've realised is that all exposure is stress. Even when they're saying fucking great things about you, it's fucking stressful. It's like getting exam results on your personality. you know, where they make declarations about you in the paper. Oh, he's great, he's great. It's fucking, and I, it sounds strange, but it is, your awareness is heightened and you're watching the horizon for bad bastards coming at you. Even though you might only be surrounded by good people saying nice things, you get this extra level of concern about being spoken about. You're always, it's not a great feeling, you know. And my life is so fucking stressful. I mean, do you think coffee helps? You know, do you know when you're always, they have interviews every now and again with really old Tibetan peasants who've lived to 304. You know, they're always there just sucking on a bamboo straw, toothless and giddy-eyed. And what is the secret to your longevity? You know, it's always fucking stresslessness, isn't it? Not taking things too seriously. And it's always the poor. I mean, the poor people in Ireland are economically poor. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like they have no money, but the poor of Tibet have, it's a different level of poverty altogether. It's possessionless, it's electricityless, it's wearing the same clothesness. But they're the people that always seem to live the fucking longest lives, isn't it? It's very rarely the CEO of a company that is doing very well on the stock exchange. And I just wonder, is with me, I mean, sometimes I get so fucking wired. I'm like a guitar string that's just been tuned, that, and it doesn't take much for the fucking thing to snap. And then you start to think, well, where do you feel the stress is gone? Like, you know, I suppose my father would have been a great man for the pints, in a very social way, you know, each Friday evening meeting the same four fellas down the bar. And I suppose, however horrific or stressful or annoying and difficult his private life might have been, that he was able to, his private life and his working life, he was able, there was something about just, you let go, just fucking let go of everything. And four pints, please, Mick, you know. And I don't have that. I sometimes on stage you get it, or, you know, but I there's nowhere in my life at the moment that is stressless. You get it in glimpses, like tiny little pockets, half inch pockets, 8 or 9 seconds of it. But the fucking, and I suppose it's to realise that it's, you're a product of your circumstances, aren't you? You know, this is the way lives are led in this part of the world. There's nothing particular to do with me. It's just, we thrive on stress, which is why our mickeys are shrinking. We're all infertile, bald. I'm fucking dead by the age of 50. And I'm not interested in technique. You know, some headspace app delivered by a wellness guru. Just become aware of the tips of your toes. And listen to the tips of your toes and just consciously relax the tips of your toes. And then move on then to the base of your little toe. Move on to your base of your little toe and just fuck off. I couldn't. stresslessness for me is I want to experience it rather than fucking work at it. There's a great clenching, isn't there? Life is all about, life is the great clench. Your diaphragm is like, it's like a craw just gripped on a fucking tennis ball. Fucking get up to fucking 6:30 and have a treble espresso. Up to fucking start worrying about the mortgage and your fucking everybody that you love, and just be worrying and worrying and worrying. And just say the, it'd be nice. I'm still bursting for a piss, by the way. Can you tell? And it's just, it's been able to find that way of just fucking, like, I love having operations. Do you know? With the, put the mask over your face and say, countdown from 10 to 1. And you know, you'll be Gumby 6. And you just look up with love and adoration at the anaesthetist. Just thank you. Thank you for this. 10, 9. And then you slowly feel the hand around your diaphragm just fucking loosening. And next thing you're fucking, next thing you're what? Next thing you're waking up in a bed 4 corridors down the hall from the fucking operating theatre. You're back to yourself. And you know you've spent 3 hours somewhere. You're not conscious of where you were, where the spirit was. Moriarty says there's a good chance you might turn into a salmon. And there was more. Who are you in dreamless sleep? Was the where do you go? Like, I often wonder, do you know fellas that can go into the head and they can operate on various different things, and here's where anger is generated, and here's where love, and, you know, with ecstasy, that beautiful drug, if it wasn't for the come down and the dangers, where it, the reason it works is it's not a spiritual thing. It floods the brain with a chemical, a happy chemical, and that's how mechanical parts of us are. It's not some change in perspective in the sense of a psychological insight. It's just your face gets flushed with this new drug and you're happy because of it. It's a physical thing. But they must have done, in the same way that they map the brain, you know, they get these fellas and they place those little pads all over their brains and wires going to herd them into the machine. And they're able to notice when different parts of the brain heat up. They must have done one with sleep, where a person goes into dreamless sleep and they have no sense of themselves. There's no I. That perspective of experiencing is gone. And the body is still working. The body is still breathing in and breathing out. There's nothing wrong with the body. It's just the brain. Something's happened in the brain where this sense of self has disappeared. So they must be able to locate the part of the brain where you think you're you. And they must be able to notice that it just fucking, wouldn't it be great to get a fucking tablet that just, that did that? You know, you'd swallow it and then you'd fucking peace out, brothers. I mean, you'd be entirely incapable of conversation or movement, but you can take a tablet and the body is still working. But you're free from the burden of yourself. Some fucker must be working on that drug in Amsterdam or something. Your personality, I suppose, is just a chemical mirage. There is a part of you that has no personality. You can get a bang in the head and your personality will change. And the only way to get back to yourself is get another bang in the head. How do you do it? How do you just let go? is letting go the same as not caring? Like, if you're heading into teach English to a Leaving Cert class, do you just, are you able to do the work without being consumed by the pressure to perform brilliantly? Is pressure a wonderful thing? You hear about sportsmen go, I fucking love pressure, man. You know, anytime you see photographs from an elite soccer club's training pitch and these incredibly fit men and women who are performing under such a microscope and under such huge intensity, they're always laughing. Is that because they're super fit? Is that because they've come to a physical place where, because of their fitness, their bodies don't get fucking worn down by stress? Maybe being naturally athletic is a wonderful natural thing and your body thrives on it. But for the rest of us, like, can you let go and just do the work? You know, that's why physical work can be sometimes so fucking gorgeous. Just bringing in fucking buckets of coal, you know, where you're not concerned with, where there's no technical difficulty. Like, I hate filling the fucking dishwasher. It's too difficult. I hate taking stuff out of the dishwasher because it's I don't know where everything goes. And there's it's fucking, I'm always getting me finger jabbed in forks and the prongs that'd be sticking up out of the trays. So work where you're not worried about, but there's no huge skill level, you know. And that was possibly the way we worked for thousands and thousands of years, you know, before the internet and the Industrial Revolution. We just had a fucking field to plough and no spuds to pick. You know, sowing crops, milking cattle. You know, once you know how to do it, there's no fucking stress in it, or is there? My work is kind of strange. My work is all about public consumption of it, you know, so it's all about being judged. Everything I do is fucking judged. And there's a thrill when you win, you know, of course, but the pressure to win then, because, can you do this? Can you do this kind of stuff without giving a fuck? You know, get some old lazy job on some radio station, do 2 hours a day playing country classics. Here's Joe Dolan now thinking something for his. Say hello to Marie Therese, Dimpina, Yvonne and all the girls in the nursing home. I hope you enjoy this. You know, maybe there's a fucking wisdom in that, like, kick him back and, you know. I often think of the boys out in a seer doing the pony and trap things. What is there to fucking worry about? Like, just get on the fucking, get on the trap and I'll take you to the Plassey and then we'll go to the lighters. So the horse is fairly fucking stressed having to go up them hills with fat yanks in the back. You know, what jobs are out there that just, is your job, is the job that you do, can you just fucking relax? Like, are you in sales? Do you have to meet a quota? Do you have to bring in a certain amount? Like, will the boss man have words with you now? Now, Dolores, you haven't really hit any of your targets this month. And you're in sales and marketing, you're persuading people. It's all you're doing all day, persuading them, you know. Inventing a world for them, for spending their money with you, is a good thing. Fucking the hassle of that, like. Could you be arsed? I know what the job I've always wanted to do, but it's not fucking possible anymore. My whole life, even back, I always knew that all I wanted to do was be an apostle. That's all. Just walking around Galilee and Sumatra. Walking around just nice places with pleasant weather. Nice breeze blowing in off the Dead Sea. And walking around with Jesus and him just telling stories and sending pigs over cliffs. That's what he did. He met the fella down by the graveyard, and the demons are in him, and he put all the demons that were in your man into the pigs, and the pigs run over the cliff. You know, just, that would be my, just walking around with Jesus, you know. Nothing to worry about. That's why I think churches are, you can get great relief in a church. You know, because I suppose the whole point of being in a church is that you're on your knees, like you've lost everything. Yeah, when you ain't got nothing, you got fucking nothing to lose, like. And I just think that it seems to me that admitting defeat can be very freeing. I'm not talking about sadness and stuff and the brutality of things that people experience, but just fucking going into a church and sitting down and exhaling, and everybody is there because they're suffering, and there's something, there's a fucking release in admitting that. Not trying to be a winner. Hanging out with people who fucking lost everything. Every church should have a sign that says, "Hello, losers." Just a fucking, the relief of that. Each of us has the right not to be stressed. Each of us has the right to say, "No more, I ain't doing that because it's having an awful effect on me." Each of us has the right to refuse. To refuse the shape of things at the moment and go, "No, fuck this, man, fuck this, it's not doing me any good, fuck this job, fuck this, fuck this, that," and fucking let go. Now, I know some of you aren't, I'm not even, if I let go right now, I'd piss me trousers. But that's the, to remember that there's nothing wrong with you. It's not your failing. It's just the situation you're in, and you have the right to refuse it. And what happens when you refuse it? What happens when you go, "No, no, 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 no," and relax and unclench? What happens is that a remarkable goodness fills you and flows out of you, down your leg, flows out of you towards other people. It's good. All right. God bless. Good luck. See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.